And welcome to Northwood Presbyterian Church and to our third installment of Presbyterian Women's Bible Study. I'm Patty Martin, the current moderator of Presbyterian Women here at Northwood. This year, we're using a study called Into the Light, Finding Hope Through Prayers of Lament. This is a 9-month study authored by Lynn Miller and is presented on the first Thursday of each month at 11 a.m. via live stream. If you can't attend at that time, the lessons can be found at the church's website archives. If you are interested in purchasing a study book, they're available in the church office. And if you'd like to learn more about our women's circles, please contact me. We have been meeting via Zoom throughout the pandemic and would love to have you join us. Our next study on chapter 4 will be offered on Thursday, December 3rd. That lesson will address lamenting the loss of a loved one. Today, we have a change of pace. Our guest lecturer is our own Cindy Huffman. Over the past 10 years, Cindy has served us in many capacities. Currently, she is a ruling elder and is also the vice moderator of our Presbyterian Women group. You know Cindy, I'm sure, from seeing and hearing her participation in many aspects of our music ministry. Cindy is passionate about studying and teaching the Word of God and currently leads a Bible study which meets weekly on Wednesday nights. One announcement before I turn the program over to Cindy, I'd like to let you know that the memorial that was planned for Nancy Johnson this Saturday has been rescheduled at a later time. Announcement will be made when that new date arrives. And now, Cindy.
Thank you, Patty. I appreciate that. And I want to thank Pastor Chris for inviting me to lead this lesson this morning. I find it very fulfilling for me. So first I wanted to take us back and kind of review what we've already studied in chapter 1. And chapter 1 was the heart of lament. So we looked at the perceived absence of God being at the heart of lament. This is sometimes referred to as the God-shaped hole in our heart that nothing can fill but God. We open ourselves to expressing our pain to God. It allows God to fill us with hope. For the chapter 2, we looked at lamenting together. So individuals lament as well as making up a community that laments together. Communities gather to march and express their concerns on subjects. We talked in our groups about the marches that some of us had participated in and some of the marches that we had seen participation in. Through faith, we're connected to each other. So just as a reminder, lament is a passionate expression of sorrow and grief. A passionate expression. It isn't just words of sorrow. Lament goes much deeper than that, and it's felt in the deepest part of our souls. Lament allows us to express what we're feeling individually and as part of a community. In chapter 3, we look at a woman's role in lament. Historically, women have been called on as mourners when the community was hurting. Women have been permitted to give voice to the pain and suffering of themselves, their families, and the entire community. In the Bible readings for this chapter, Jeremiah 9, 17 through 21, the prophet Jeremiah calls for the mourning women, the women skilled at expressing the community's sorrow, to quickly raise a dirge. Apparently, it was not only acceptable for women to express sorrow openly, but they were skilled at it. At that time in history, women had very little opportunity to express their own ideas and thoughts. Women who had little voice in society were needed to express the community's pain and sorrow. So it was an opportunity for women to express themselves in areas of war, politics, and tough subjects. And my friends, I just realized that I did not open us with prayer. So I'm going to ask that you turn to page 29 in your lesson, in your study guide, and join me in this prayer. God of Rachel and Mary, God of the mothers of Bethlehem, you are with us when we rejoice and when we mourn. You are with us in our individual sorrows and in the sorrows we share. As we study your word, may we hear our sisters' stories and, in hearing, relieve some of their burden. Amen. Thank you. If you don't write things down, you forget. I heard this morning that one thing that's missing sometimes in our live stream is laughter, and I hope you're laughing with me at home. So back to our lesson, Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, 13 through 17, which was not part of our lesson, but I found it to be a good place for us to look at. God tells Jeremiah that God will turn the sorrow of women and the whole community to rejoicing, sending comfort and joy in the place of sorrow and pain. God reminds the nation that Rachel, who cried out in lament for her children, refused to be comforted. Let's look at Rachel for a moment. Rachel loved Jacob, and she was loved by Jacob so much that he was willing to work for years to have her as his wife. She couldn't have children. For years and years, she didn't have children, but his other wives gave him many sons. That caused Rachel stress. Finally, she had a son, Joseph. Then for many more years, she prayed that God would give her another son for Jacob. Finally, she got pregnant. And on the road home, they had been away from their home, on the road home, she went into labor. She knew it was not going to be good. And she realized that she was going to die. She asked that her son be named Son of My Sorrow, knowing that she would not see this child grow up. Jacob instead named the boy Son of Good Nature. So even in death, Jacob silenced Rachel. Jacob did, however, honor Rachel and his love for her when he buried her in a tomb along that same road that would be visible to all who traveled there. Now, jump ahead 1,000 years. The people of Israel are being led into exile, into captivity, far away from their homes. They were on the road and past Rachel's tomb, and they remembered Rachel's lament for the children she would never know. The people of Israel also knew that they were the children for whom Rachel lifted her voice to God in sorrow and pain. In Jeremiah 31, 14, 15, Jeremiah reminded the people that Rachel couldn't be comforted, knowing that her children were in pain. I can also almost imagine the people walking along that road on their way to exile, to captivity, singing songs like, "We Shall Overcome." Now, they didn't have that song back then, but I'm sure they had songs that they lifted their lament to God as they were going into captivity. In verses 16 and 17, the people are reminded that God heard Rachel's lament, just as God hears the lament of the people being taken into captivity. He tells the people, Jeremiah tells the people, that God will bring them back into their territory, back to their land and homes. There was hope. These same words were quoted by Matthew in response to Herod's killing of infants some 500 years later, but I'll get to that story shortly. So, what does this mean to all of us these years later? Look again at Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah calls on women to cry out to the Lord and receive the word from God's mouth. So presumably the word of hope for their suffering. And Jeremiah calls on the women to teach their daughters to mourn and express lament. Not only their daughters, they are to teach their neighbors, the community, too. Women, we are a community. We are called on to come together in times of sorrow and in times of happiness. Not only women, but the whole community. Let's face it, we women tend to be a bit more expressive and open and, shall I say, dramatic, willing to express our sorrow and our emotions. Now, I don't mean to exclude men, because there are several men that I know who are very deep emotionally, feeling emotionally, and willing to express that. But over time, men have been told not to express themselves so openly because they would be like women. Hopefully we're getting past that in our society today. So it was acceptable and expected for women to gather in sorrow. It was okay. We too can gather and support each other and be a voice to God in our situation, whatever that is. Presbyterian women, we should look at how we lead our families, our church families, and our communities in expressing pain and sorrow, calling on God to provide comfort and relief. We can teach young ones how to call on God for help, and we can teach them to have hope and rejoice. We have stories of how God has brought us through difficult times, providing for us. I hope when you gather in your groups, whether it be Zoom or socially distanced in large rooms, that you take that opportunity to share with each other not only your burdens, but ways that group, your church, your community, have supported you during a time of sorrow, during a time of lament. Share how others have helped you through the tough times. Talk about the strength you received as part of a lamenting community. Our author, Lynn Miller, provides several ideas for practicing lament with children. Children can be taught how to express their sorrow. In your groups, I encourage you to look at the list she provides, starting at the bottom of page 32 in your study guide. Discuss how the church is allowing space for children to express themselves. Talk about how you, as a group of skilled women, can help the church teach this to our children. I especially love the simple structure she provides for teaching lament to children. Number one, address God. Two, tell God what is wrong. Three, ask God for help. And most importantly, number four, trust and thank God. I think this is a good lesson for every one of us to learn, to use this simple structure for lament. My friends, there is hope. God's promises are true. In Jeremiah 31:16 and 17, God told Rachel to stop her crying for her children, that her children would indeed return to their own homes. And God affirmed it. And God is good to his promises. Years after Jeremiah brought that word of comfort to the people in exile, they did return home, but they were oppressed at home by the Roman occupation of their land. Our passage in Matthew 2, 16 through 18 is about the Jewish-born Herod, who had a fear for a baby king, had all children 2 years and younger put to death. He had heard from the wise men who had traveled from the east to find the baby born a king who we know was Jesus. When so many infants were being slaughtered, how many mothers were helpless to defend and save their children and called out in sorrow and lament to God? How many in their community felt their sorrow and cried with them? Here Matthew reminds them of the passage from Jeremiah and reminds them that God heard Rachel when she cried out. We know that God protected Jesus and sent his family to Egypt to escape this wave of killing of children. We also know that Jesus was the hope that God sent to those people. Jesus was saved from this certain death to face death on a cross. But that death led to life for us all when God brought Jesus up from death. Again, God's answer is hope. Our author ends with a story of Miriam in Exodus. We may remember that Miriam saved another baby from sure death in Egypt. Pharaoh had ordered the killing of all Israeli babies because he feared their community was growing too strong and too large. Miriam helped her mother to hide the baby in the rushes. And if you'll remember, that baby was Moses. When Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, it was Miriam who volunteered to find a nurse for that baby. Miriam brought her own mother, Moses' mother, to nurse and care for that child in Pharaoh's household. Then years later, Miriam was with her brother when he led the people out of Egypt, when God brought them through the waters, destroying the Egyptian army in the water behind them. Miriam's response to God's deliverance of the people was with dancing and singing. We too can dance and sing, knowing that God has provided a way through Jesus Christ. Christ is our joy and our salvation. Our author suggested several hymns that could be sung in this lesson. If we were together, and if we were able to safely sing, which we are not, we would sing a favorite hymn of mine. If you have access to a hymnal, it is number 515 in the Presbyterian hymnal, I Come With Joy. I thought about singing it today, but then I decided that I would just read it for you. So I'm going to read the first and the last verses for you. The music in this hymn is very lilting and would make you dance if you could hear it. If you go on YouTube, you can probably find it there. I come with joy, a child of God, forgiven, loved, and free. The life of Jesus to recall, in love laid down for me, in love laid down for me. Together met, together bound by all that God has done, we'll go with joy to give the world the love that makes us one, the love that makes us one. As you gather in your circles and your groups, talk about what burdens you have today. Let the community share those burdens with you. Talk about how your small groups and others have helped you pray with each other. As God's daughters, free yourself to lament and to hope. God hears our cries. Come together to lament and hold each other, safely distanced, please. Teaching lament, and most importantly, trusting God and lifting our thanks to God. Would you join me with the prayer on page 34, our closing prayer? God of Sarah and Miriam, God of Hagar and Tamar, God of my sister beside me, and my God, your daughters are here. We are ready to lead your people in mourning when it is time to mourn, in dancing when it is time to dance. Amen. Now go in peace, knowing that you are not alone. You are part of a community, a loving community, ready to share hope in God. Thank you.